Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a hump day Wednesday. Couple segments left for us, meaning the AMA is 20 minutes away. Brian Gebhardt texts that we need a heavy AMA push. We need your questions, either on Twitter, at TBM929, at RandyMack81, or at Brian_Gebhardt, or on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Anything you got, we'll answer it coming up in 20 minutes. It is Wednesday at 1:20, though, which means Jason Longshore joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Jason, how are you?
What up, Jay?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good.
We're doing good, and, I mean, it feels like we're continuing to head in the right direction of baseball with some good news yesterday, and basketball players reporting and declaring their intention to play in Orlando as well. And we know that Atlanta United has been training. We're also seeing positive tests rise. I think that's a part of it because there's more testing. That's kind of what Darren Eales said when we heard him speak earlier in the week, that positive tests mean the protocols are working. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's what we've seen in all of the leagues that have come back and been able to have a league played behind closed doors. You saw testing that returned positive tests early on. What you're looking for is what we're seeing in Germany and England and Spain and Italy, the four major leagues in Europe that are back and have been back for multiple weeks now. You're looking to see if there is a positive test and then it spreads through a team. And that has not happened. And Germany's been back for a while. The others are getting back up to week after week of games, and you're not seeing that spread. I mean, for me, when you hear about a positive test, and there were two with Atlanta United, they were confirmed via follow-up tests, you have to understand that, look, the virus is out there. It's not going away anytime soon. It's out there. You have to be careful. For all of us, we have to be careful. That's what it reiterates to me. It doesn't mean that you can't have a league behind closed doors with all of the protocols that are in place, but, yeah, you got to be careful, and you got to be responsible, and you've got, you know, a lot of things that we're not used to that we have to think about now as we live our daily lives, and athletes are included in that.
Hey, Jay, what are going to be some of the protocols when they get down there? Because we know that I think Mike said that they're leaving next week or the week after next, in 10 days or whatever he said they're leaving. What are going to be some of the protocols when they actually get down there? Because I know they're not just using what they're doing here as far as the quarantine. They got to do something else when they're down there, right?
Yeah, no, it's the same. It's really okay. More of a quarantine situation down there. Oh, okay. As it is here, because, you know, here people go home, they have to put gas in the car, they go, you know, grab takeout food or go to the grocery store or whatever. And I think in Germany, one thing that's worked really well is, you know, there's been a lot of education from the clubs, from the league to the players about, you know, hey, we have a big responsibility here. You know, we've got to do, you know, more than, you know, just have the testing and follow the protocols and training. We've got to be responsible in our personal lives, too. And even when you do that, you can still have a positive test because it's out there. But once you get down to Orlando, it's the same level of testing. It's every other day of testing. And when you arrive, you're not even allowed to start training as a team until your whole group has passed two tests, two, you know, negative tests for coronavirus when you arrive in a 72-hour period. The tests have to be 24 hours apart. It was the same procedure when they started contact training. So even if something, you know, can happen in the midst of the travel, which is a charter flight, which you're not walking through a normal airport, like every precaution is being taken here, to make sure it's a safe environment, but they're still going to have a ton of testing when they get to Orlando, even in a closed environment.
I know with the NWSL, they're facing some issues as well with the Women's League trying to come back in their tournament. A lot of big names saying that they're going to skip it and not participate in it. Is there any worry that tournament is not going to happen?
No, it's going to happen. They've announced the changes to the schedule. To recap the NWSL side, you've had three national team players opt out. And the NWSL, the NWSLPA, negotiated the ability for players to opt out. No questions asked. No, you know, nothing had to be proven to opt out. And they will not have any salary deductions for opting out. Megan Rapinoe, Tobin Heath, Kristen Press have all opted out of the NWSL tournament. We also know about the Orlando Pride, which had six positive tests among players, four among staff. And they have pulled out of the tournament as a whole, and that seems to be tracing it backwards to a group of players who went out to a local bar or nightclub. It can happen that fast, and that's something the NWSL is going to have to overcome. It's a huge opportunity right now because they're going to be the first team sport back, and they're going to be on national TV on CBS on Saturday for the first time, and that's big for them. But they are going to be missing some people during this, and you start to look at protocols and the way everything's been done. You know, when we've talked about this, whether it's MLS, whether it's Bundesliga, whether it's a college program, NWSL, the amount of work that has to be done, the amount of testing that has to be done, it's the same. It doesn't change level to level or game to game. The cost is still there. And the cost is going to be a huge issue for some smaller leagues about doing the appropriate level of testing and all the protocols that are in place. And it's something that's come up at the college level, and the NWSL, they're not testing at the same levels before the tournament as MLS is. And that's why you get a situation like Orlando Pride.
Jay, what will be the financial ramifications for this league going forward after such a tumultuous time as far as the money that they're losing this year in the MLS?
Well, that's the thing that's so hard about it, is everybody's going to lose money this year. You know, every league, baseball, you know, you're playing 60 games, you're not playing 162. Like, TV networks are going to demand a rebate. That's just how it works. You know, for MLS, the game day revenue is huge, and you're not going to have that, and that's going to hurt them. It's the groups that are stronger, the leagues that are stronger, and MLS's structure being a single entity helps them because they have some very strong owners, especially some of the more recent ones that had a higher bar to hit to come into the league. They're going to be able to weather that. And then you get to the conversation that I think MLS will be in once we see the other side of some of this, is this an investment in the future? Because MLS, if they bounce back quickly, could really jump up a few levels in terms of where they stand in the world. They have that possibility ahead of them. I don't know if you have that same possibility ahead of you if you don't play this year. And that's the challenge for an MLS, where game day revenue is so big, you're not going to have the same level of game day revenue if you have any, and you need to have a season even with that in mind. It's tough.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some MLS and what exactly it's going to take to get everyone safely back, or as safely as possible, back on the field for the tournament in Orlando, which is just a couple weeks away, just about 2 weeks away from right now that tournament will begin. This also was out there earlier this week, Jason, and it feels like the rumors of Barco to Fiorentina, or the Fiorentina interest, have been debunked pretty well, but I don't think it's the last time we're going to hear international rumors about Barco. What did you make of this story?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's debunked. Barco spoke to Argentine media and said that his agent had been contacted by Fiorentina, which is what happens a lot of times. You know, a team is not going to put in an offer to a club if the player isn't interested. So they're going to talk to an agent first. It doesn't mean they put in an offer. And Darren Eel said that they have not had any offers or any contact from other clubs. A lot of times that's going to start at the agent level. Italian media also reported that Lyon in France could be in the mix and interested in Ezequiel Barco. It's not a surprise. I mean, Ezequiel Barco has shown a ton of promise here. He's young. He had a great U-20 World Cup for Argentina last summer. It's no surprise the big clubs are interested. And when you look at a club like Fiorentina, this is a club with new ownership, and this is a club that's investing heavily, even after, you know, the losses they're going to suffer during the coronavirus. they're looking to change who they are and get back to where they were as one of the better clubs in Italy. So they're a club that would be in the mix here. Lyon is a club that's trying to get back to Europe. They would be a club that's in the mix. The transfer window, the transfer market, we're all guessing on it right now because nobody knows what it's going to look like after this.
Jay, would you be surprised, to piggyback off that, would you be surprised if this was Barco's last year with Atlanta United?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have been coming into it. I thought that coming into the season, there would have been a very small chance he would have went in a summer window in the middle of the season. It's a completely different year now, and I don't know if that changes anything or not. It's going to be down to the offers that come either way. It's just going to be down to hitting a price point. Because remember, Atlanta invested in Barco and both salary that they've paid him, but also the transfer fee that they paid Independiente, reportedly around $15 million. You don't want to lose any money on that. You know, I think the numbers might be different now than they were back in February, but we'll have to see what that return is, because it's got to be the right fit for Barco, but it's also got to be the right fit for the club to make the sale and be able to then reinvest in the next Ezequiel Barco, because there will be another one. That's what we've seen.
Jason, I don't think we've actually asked you a question about Atlanta United's ability to win this tournament in Orlando with all the other stuff about getting down there and then just, you know, the health protocol rumors and all of that. They're pretty well suited. I mean, obviously they're a really good team. I mean, what do you make of Atlanta United's ability to go down there and win this thing?
I think most of the experts have them among the four or five favorites in the event. That's without Joseph Martinez. That says a lot about the depth of the squad. I would agree with that. I think, you know, if you can run an attack with Pitti Martinez, Matteo Sossetti, and Ezequiel Barco, and you have difference makers, you know, in Adam John and J.J. Williams, who give you a different look that you can work into the mix as well, this is a really strong squad. For me, in the East, it's Atlanta, it's New York City, and maybe Toronto. And out west, Sporting Kansas City is my favorite out there, along with LAFC and potentially Portland.
Jay, I mean, probably for like 2 years when you've come on and we've talked, and it's always been George Bellinger. I'm so excited to see this young man play, because I really would love to see the attack, because the versatility that people talk about, especially you talk about what he brings. I'm excited to see George Bello play. I don't know, out of all the players that are coming back, I want to see what this young man can do and if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's a local guy, and yes, he's a kid who has developed in the Atlanta soccer scene and goes to Atlanta United and has risen to the challenge every single time. He lit it up for Atlanta United too. He's shown you glimpses with Atlanta United. He's had bad luck with injuries, but the system that Frank DeBoer showed us in the first few games this season, it fits George Bello like a glove. To see him play as a wing back in that system with his ability to defend, which is good, but his ability to go forward freely when the time calls for it, Bello, his speed, his ability to get into the attack, he can be a difference maker with this team. He's got to stay healthy, and he's looked good when he's been healthy. It's just getting games and getting consistency now for him.
Jason, I think we're getting closer to these Wednesday conversations actually being about games. We're just a couple weeks away from them actually.
I know.
You've been fantastic throughout this entire process, but I know we're all looking forward to talking about actual games. So thanks again, as always.
Appreciate it, Jay.
To you next week.
Thank you.
Jason Longshore there from the Atlanta United broadcast team, always informative. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter. We'll be right back to answer your questions after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.